Ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
These trophy presentations aren't over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
You no longer
get a salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the Drive.
Schmack Dogs!
Thunderstruck! Yeah, yeah, yeah,
what's up? It's The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5, Derek Piper, Kyle Tosk, and of course, it's Monday, so we have the one and only Jay Layman. Jay, how you doing, man?
Oh yeah, baby, let's go. Hey, no, I'm doing well. So glad to be on here. This is the most honest hour of college football radio, especially Illinois radio, so let's get down to it.
Got to have you on Friday, and admittedly, to get this thing started off and framed properly, we expected and hoped for a convincing feel-good win from Illinois. They got the win. They got the victory. They escaped against Florida Atlantic 23-17. It didn't come with too many feel-goods. It wasn't convincing. We'll dive into all of that. I do want to say Mondays are tough for me, Jay, because the Bears are just killing my soul.
I mean, yeah, well, I got to talk about the Bears real quick. I'm a Bears fan growing up. I kind of lost my Bears fanhood because I played enough of different teams. I'm like, okay, do I like the Vikings? Do I like this? That first half, it was like they were in different leagues. I mean, it was like, I know they're both NFL teams, but it was like different leagues. It was two different leagues, it looked like. That's how far superior Kansas City was on every level.
I knew that they were going to get boat raced in that game, but just hoping and praying for some level of something to grab onto, like Justin Fields to make a couple of plays. Like he says, I'm going to start playing football like I grew up playing. I'm going to, you know, take the constraints off and just kind of go out there and have fun. Well, wasn't very fun for him, for anybody watching him.
I mean, talk about a disaster week for the Bears in general.
Right.
Okay, I mean, the resignation of their defensive coordinator, there's still some questions on what actually went on with the whole thing, right? And Adam Schefter said there was nothing illegal done, but it was inappropriate.
Conduct, yeah.
Inappropriate. I mean, we have no idea. We've got, you know, supposedly we had addressed all these issues with the Bears, and we've addressed none.
Have addressed none. And by the way, they got House Hall got stormed and robbed like $100,000 worth of equipment. Did you see that?
I saw that. It was a bad week to be a Bears fan.
It was tough. On the other side of the spectrum, we're going to get to Illinois real quick here, but on the other side of the spectrum, Kyle's Dolphins put up 70 points, first time in the league since like 1966. There is no, I can't think of another on the completely opposites than the Bears on offense right now and what the Dolphins are doing. People are saying it's the best offense since the greatest show on turf.
I just love how, for instance, people say stuff all the time, like after 2 weeks of the season. I saw like Eric Bieniemy's got this team right, the Commanders. Like he's the reason they're like top five in offense. Well, they were horrible yesterday, right? It's just like, so you can't say they're the greatest offense through three games.
That's
we get
true.
To that.
Yeah, fair enough.
We also heard everybody say Deshaun Watson sucks. Now he's horrible up to the Steelers game. Guys, they lost Nick Chubb. They're 2-1, and like he was 286 with two touchdowns. It's like everybody is so. I just think in the era of writing people, I will say this: if you want to look at good offensive play calling and some creativity and innovation, look at the Dolphins. Kyle, I want to let you talk about the Dolphins. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't have many words. Every time I looked up from my chair yesterday, they were scoring another touchdown. 70 points, 726 yards. I mean, it's incredible. I think the job that McDaniel has done with Tua, with utilizing just the insane speed. I saw a stat that the Dolphins have like the sixth top ball carrier speeds like on a single play this year from like three different players. It's just incredible.
Dolphins fun to watch. Bears just brutal. Illinois was a tough one for fans, especially early. You get down 10-0 unexpectedly on your home field again. Another slow start offensively, defensively letting FAU make some plays. It corrected down the stretch to where Illinois could at least run the football. Luke Altmyer did make some plays. But it was even dicey late. Like, FAU scores it to be 23-17. Of course, Caleb Griffin missed the extra point. And in the situation, the FAU could have got the ball back and took the lead to win it. It was uninspiring, Jay. What was your grand takeaway from that game?
Well, first off, we are a horrible starting team, right? You mentioned this. I mean, it's kind of like living in the Midwest and waiting and waiting and waiting for summer to hit. That's kind of like our offense, right? You're like, oh, it's almost here. It's almost here. Another snowstorm. Bam, it's almost like our offense is just not getting rolling, right? We have been, let me go through the games. Other than starting, I think we started 7-0 against Toledo.
Yes.
But other than that, we got down 19-7. We got down 21-0 versus Kansas. I think we were down 13-0 against
Penn State. Yep.
And we were down 10-0. And they just look uninspired, right? When they come out and play like that, and it's a comedy of errors. It's going for it on fourth down, we don't get it. It's penalties. It's missing field goals. It's just not good. So that's been disheartening. I would say this. I will give them a lot of credit. The end of the game, I thought the defense had some strong stops, but also that four-minute drive. That's who we want to be as a team, right? Ability to finish off a game in the four-minute drill, which is the opposite of the two-minute drill. You're ahead in the game. You want to finish it out. The ability for Josh McCray, we've been hard on him a little bit. Not hard on him, but question, is he okay? To finish out in the offensive line, to finally be physical at the point of attack, finish that drive out, and then Fagan to actually get down, you know, on the 3-yard line and run it out. It showed a lot of different pieces coming together. That was the most complete drive Illinois had as far as game situation and knowing what you had to do to win the game.
We'll dig in on a lot of these different things, but I'm glad you mentioned Caden Fagan. How tough has that got to be for a freshman who has his first career touchdown right there in front of him and just to make the right play?
I know the analytics say that you got to get down and – I guess there is a chance with, you know, they're going to get the ball back and they could onside and then score. It's probably not likely, but as Brett said in his press conference, they had no way to win if he gets down.
Right.
Absolutely no way to win. And so it was the right move. That's got to be hard. He's a good-looking player. I'm surprised he had the awareness not to just walk into the end zone. I think once the guy kind of whiffed on purpose, he was like, okay, what's going on? He got down. So I think it's difficult. But I liked what I've seen out of him and Aiden Loffrey. Aiden Loffrey, prior to GCMS, had a good game. So I was happy to see him get some good reps.
I don't think anybody could have blamed him if he just took that one all the way across Kirby Avenue on over to the Assembly Hall and
Was it the guy for the Chiefs last year who got down like at the one when he could have scored? I think in the Super Bowl he got down like the one and they
yes,
did that.
Yes, right. That's right.
I can't remember. He's a backup tailback, you know. And then there was the meme. He could have told his kids he scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl, but he got down on the one, you know. All right, sorry.
Yep.
I just had that hit my mind.
Offensive line. What's up with them? I think like going into the year, if you would have pinpointed what are the potential downfalls of this Illinois team, offensive line would not have been your first mention, probably not even your second mention.
Would not have been.
What are you seeing there that is contributing to this being a unit that is creating problems both in terms of quarterback pressures but not establishing what we thought in the run game?
Well, I definitely think our left side of our offensive line played a little bit better than our right side, which is a little surprising. Julian Pearl's been solid at left tackle, I think, the whole season. Maybe not as dominant as I'd like to see him at point of attack. As far as pass blocking, he's been okay. Geske's had his moments, although I think Geske took a step in the right direction. He's still getting beaten one-on-one pass coverage. I think, in general, we look at Isaiah Adams and Zy Chrysler, they both feel more comfortable at guards. And although Isaiah Adams is athletic enough and smart enough to play right tackle, it's not his natural position. And it doesn't allow him to have that road grader effect that he has at the guard position. And I think that's what we're missing a bit. I think Zai has really been hurt by not getting reps in the spring, not getting reps in the fall. He's still kind of getting a feel. We're just not very good in one-on-one pass rush. We look a little confused in our pass coverage stuff. And part of it, though, I will say, is Luke Altmyer, the first three games, was just throwing the ball away. Trying to get the ball out, led to seven picks, right? This game, he held on to the ball a little bit more, created, like on the Griffin Moore play, he did create and did some of that stuff. But also held the ball on, like, that sack fumble was borderline Luke Altmyer. I mean, Isaiah Adams made the defense end run the hump, meaning he went all the way past the quarterback and throw a run, and Altmyer hits three or four times, partially because he didn't want to throw picks, but you can't fumble as well. Part of it was Altmyer held onto the ball longer. The other part was, hey, we weren't protecting that well. I will say, early on in the run game, we were not getting the push that I wanted to see. I think later in the game, we warmed down a little bit. Josh McCray got rolling.
How fixable is Zai Chrisler? Adams now playing a little bit of out of position at tackle. What do you think is the possible progress here, and what is just going to be a reality of an offensive line that isn't what we've seen the last couple years, potentially?
So good question. I mean, Zai Chrisler played well last year. I mean, he had, I think, honorable mention all Big Ten. He played well. It's there. I think it's just getting him reps this year and letting him get his confidence, his health back. I don't know if we have anybody else behind him. I mean, Jordan Slaughter's kind of been the super sub for about 2 years. I want to say that Josh Cruz has been pretty solid for being a first-year playing, and he's been solid at the point of attack, but I just haven't seen us on our counter plays, on some of our powers that we like to run. We have not begun the push we need, and we've been getting stymied at the front and pushed back a lot. I don't know what the solution is. I know Whiteneck came in, Barlib's played a little bit. I don't know if we have the depth there as other positions. And so I'm concerned that maybe these are our best guys right now. Brett mentioned he's going to get some guys in there to kind of press and maybe give press for playing time, maybe give some chances, but we shall see.
You mentioned Luke Altmyer a little earlier there. Obviously, he was the guy kind of in the spotlight all week long after the Penn State game, and he played pretty well, 303 yards, a touchdown, his first start as an Illini without a pick. What do you see from him and his response?
Well, first off, anytime we have 300 yards for an Illinois quarterback, it's a good day. I mean, we got a lot of days where we've never had 300 yards, so that's a good day if you watch Illinois sports as long as I've watched it. I think this, with Altmyer, he took care of the football. He extended some plays. That first that reverse flea flicker, it wasn't supposed to go to Griffin Moore. It was supposed to go to Battle, I think, over the middle. He had to sidestep because the protection wasn't there, bought some time, hit Griffin in stride, hit Tip Ryman on a deep ball, and he had a jump ball for Isaiah Williams, gave Isaiah Williams a chance. Isaiah climbed the ladder, made a big play for a 45-yard catch. Those are some of the vertical attacks. I would still like to see some more of the RPO we saw at UTSN or Barry Lunny. They hammered us with the RPO, right? I don't remember seeing that very often. We've run it a little bit to Casey Washington some. We haven't run it a ton. I think we hit more RPO up. I'd like to see some bootleg action with Altmyer. Get him out of the pocket. We're struggling to protect. Sprint out, bootleg, one, two-man routes. What's frustrating to me is we had a lot of seven-man protection, meaning a tight end stays in and a back stays in along with a five lineman, and we still weren't protected. That's worrisome to me, and we've got to get better up front. But I think Luke Altmyer took a step in the right direction. I mean, he bounced back in a big way from what his game was. I still think he's a better quarterback than we've had. Maybe not better than Tommy, not as experienced as Tommy, but he's certainly above average what we've seen the last decade for Illinois football.
Hits a couple of those deep ones to Isaiah. He probably has close to 400 yards.
Sure. Yeah, he missed some balls, right? Isaiah Williams, he's a phenomenal player, leading the Big Ten in receptions. I think he's just behind Marvin Harrison in yards, but 24 receptions through, I mean, how are you going to ask for more production of a receiver? There's nobody else out there, right?
He had a big-time contested catch, too. One thing we've wondered about him.
We want to know if he could get that and if he could catch those contested balls. I've seen it on the slant route some, a little bit, but a lot of times we're trying to get him a free release by putting him in motion or putting him in the slot, but he did go up and climb the ladder for that, caught at the high point. I think he's a guy that is their leader, and as Brett Bielema said in his press conference, if Isaiah plays well, we play well. Kind of energizes the whole team.
As you look defensively, they were able to buckle down at times, but spotting FAU 10 points. You didn't get help from the offense, but things looked a little too easy early. What do you think led to that?
Okay, good question. One, I think we got to give them credit for those three stops, I believe, that were inside the 25-yard line, you know, later in the game. They also had, I believe, they stopped FAU inside the 15. We had a turnover from Hank Beatty, and then they stopped FAU again for four plays. I don't think they got any points. So it was like eight plays inside the 15, and Brett Beal mentioned it. That's impressive. I want to give them credit for really saving the game in that regard. We saw the Illinois defense do that a lot last year, and as far as being, they call it the fire department, putting out fires, and they did a job putting out fires. I think initially we could not cover number one, Wester. We had issues covering number one. Xavier Scott had tough duty all day. I think Xavier's going to be a football player. I think he's an NFL player in 2 or 3 years. We've also can't seem to keep Taz or Tyler Strain healthy for the entire game. They don't seem to be out for long term, but they're out. Now, Zach Toby came in, showed some good things, had three pass breakups, has unique length, and they tested him a couple times. So I like what we saw there. I like what I saw from Sabor Kareem? I got their name.
Sabor Kareem.
Okay, yeah, I think he made a really instinctive play on it. I think the linebackers, we saw some more James Crutes. We saw some more of Odaluga as well in there. A little bit less on Tariq. But overall, I thought they played solid. But initially, we simply couldn't get off the field with Wester, and that's concerning. Let's remember, this is a team that didn't have their starting quarterback in Casey Thompson. I think if Casey Thompson plays, are we talking about a loss? Quite possibly. Yeah. We won't go there. We don't have our first Power 5 win yet, but I will say our Power 5 losses look pretty good, especially the dismantling of Iowa against Penn State in the whiteout game, which was a disaster. Kyle, what's up?
You mentioned the younger guys with Toby and Kareem. How important can getting that experience be for them? Because this wasn't a situation where they put them in there. Illinois up 35.
Sure.
These guys are going to get some garbage time reps. They were involved in some really key plays in the game. What can that experience do for those guys?
I think we saw that with Matthew Bailey. He had some good experience last year. Unfortunately, Bailey gets hurt after about one quarter of playing. We're going to have some of the deepest defensive backfield as we have with reps. But right now, none of them are really experienced other than Taz. I think Taz has some great experience. We haven't been able to keep him on the field. So I think it's going to be good on the back end. But as far as why we weren't great, I think Keith Randolph had, you know, made some plays and probably played his best game. He's been an active guy. We're not really getting the negative plays we usually get or the turnovers we got last year. I mean, we just destroyed the turnover margin last year. We're not destroying the margin right now. In fact, we're struggling with the turnover margin, and that's hurting the offense because we're not setting up the offense with some of these short fields that we had last year. And we're just not as good at the point of attack as we have been, other than Johnny Newton, who they did some different things, according to Brett Bielema, to kind of negate Johnny Newton. But it opened up guys like Gabe Akis, who had a chance, Keith Randolph to have a big game. And so we're just not as physical as up front as I like to see.
Jay, one more before we get to your sponsors and catch our first break. I think a lot of us expected going into today's show, we just have so much to choose from in terms of reference points of what looked better versus what we've seen for three weeks. And we'd have to maybe calibrate down a little bit or just try to figure out, all right, how much does this translate into Purdue? The fact that you're a 15-point home favorite and you win by 6, and you really have underachieved individually in probably every game so far. Where should fans be at? Where are you at in terms of just the expectations going forward and what you think this team can still do?
So that's a great question, because I think all our expectations were lower, and then they went sky high last year. And now they kind of stayed higher and elevated, so then we're here. Where, if you know, we won 6 games last year, and we didn't have a chance to win the West, and we went to some okay bowl game. We went to a New Year's Day bowl game, and we put an SEC school, and we're right there with them to the very end. And so and a lot of people coming back. We lost a lot of people too. But so I think our expectations are a good thing, but they haven't necessarily been met. This team has not played a complete game at all. Offensively, defense, and special teams has not played their best football. And I think I'm not so upset that we're 2-2. It's the way it's looked at 2-2, right? I think we knew we could easily be 2-2. If there are such things as a good loss, Kansas and
Penn State
are good losses, right? So based on what we see. But I would say this, going forward, the benefit is the West is garbage. I mean, it really is. I don't know what
it's really bad, man.
The West is bad. Oh. I mean, it's bad ball. Nebraska's played some bad ball. Minnesota lost to a bad Northwest. That might be the worst loss in PJ Fleck's tenure. Even Bowling Green doesn't beat that one. That was a bad loss to Northwestern. Purdue, I thought, was going to be better. With
they can't
Hudson
stop
Card.
Anybody.
They cannot stop anything. They can't stop quarterback run. Can't do any of that. Northwestern, we've mentioned. Iowa probably had the worst offensive output I've seen ever from a Big Ten team. So, can we win the West? Yes, we can win the West. Wisconsin looked a little bit better, but we're going to find out a lot about ourselves because now we've seen what Iowa and Penn State did. We've seen what Purdue did against Wisconsin. And these are teams that really know each other when we come to Purdue. We can talk about that. But as far as what my expectations are moving forward, I think we're a 6 or 7 win team. I started at the beginning of the year. We could be a 5 win team or a 10 win team. I've shortened that down to 6 or 7. I think we could win any game on our schedule. Maryland's probably the most potent offense we're going to see moving forward, but we're not getting the turnovers we need. We've been inconsistent with our line play up front, and our defenses have not been as dominant as we would have liked it to be. So I don't think it's a, hey, this season's over. I think it's more like, man, it doesn't look the way we thought it was going to look with the Brett Bielema coach team.
That's well said. As we go along, I do want to hit in and maybe dig in a little bit deeper. Obviously on Purdue, who's coming up this Saturday, but just the rest of the schedule in general, kind of setting expectations. Okay, this is what we've seen from Nebraska, like you said, Wisconsin. Wisconsin did show some things there in that game against Purdue. The Big Ten West, not so good, but the sponsors we have for the show are fantastic.
Oh, I like that transition. Iroquois Federal is your one-stop shop. They're our title sponsor, guys. You got to check them out at the Crossing in Champaign or in Savoy by Savoy 16 right off of Neal Street. You got to check out Iroquois Federal for all your home loan and business and commercial loan needs. That's Mark McHale, Bob Guido, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane for your consumer loans. If you need a commercial line of credit, Iroquois Federal is your place to go. Bob Guido has helped me with a ton of my own loans, and he will help you if you're looking to buy a rental property or need a business loan. If you need insurance, because if you're getting a loan, you need insurance, talk to Kyle Lewis. Kyle Lewis at IPGINS.com. Auto, home, life, habitational for all your rental properties. Kyle Lewis is a one-stop insurance shop. You got to go there. And Long Branch Steakhouse, we got Donnie in the house. I love the fried pickles, Donnie. I wanted the tomahawk ribeye, but they go so fast, you got to make sure you get in there on Wednesday and Thursday to make sure you get the tomahawk ribeye. No? Only when he has them. No, I'm saying when he makes a post, Donnie. I was saying when you make a post, say, you got to get in there ASAP. I know you don't have it Wednesday and Thursday, every Wednesday and Thursday, but I love the fried pickles, love the onion rings. You got to make it over to Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown Eclectic Gifford.
If you want to weigh in, you can, 217-359-2255. I know plenty have already hit up the text line. If you got a question for Jay, let us know. Fire one in, 217-359-2255. And also, while we talked about calibrating expectations, what say you as far as the win total for this team, what you foresee throughout the rest of the schedule? We'll dive in deeper on Illinois and Purdue coming up this Saturday and thoughts around the Big Ten as well. Ohio State and Notre Dame, what a thriller that was. Got to get Jay's thoughts on that before we get out of here. We got to catch a break. We'll be back with Jay Layman when we return. This is The Drive.
Habitat for Humanity of Champaign County has been bringing people together to build homes, communities, and hope since 1991. To date, Habitat of Champaign has built 118 homes, but the need for safe, decent, and affordable housing is greater than ever. When you donate your time or money to Habitat or make a purchase from the Habitat Restore, you are empowering local families and helping them achieve the strength, stability, and self-reliance they need to build a bright future for themselves. For more information about Habitat for Humanity of Champaign, please visit CUHabitat.org.
Illini fans, for a limited time at Jet's Pizza, new popcorn chicken pizzas. Their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. It's new and a limited time offer, so don't miss out. Try any of the four for just $17.99. Code BBQ. Their popcorn chicken pizzas are perfect to order while watching football with friends and family. Try their tasty popcorn chicken on their famous BBQ, Aloha BBQ, Buffalo Ranch, or Bacon Ranch pizzas. Just $17.99. Code BBQ. Jets, better because it has to be.
When you make the right decision, it feels good, like picking the perfect accent rug or choosing a good night's sleep over an all-night crime show binge. It feels really good to make the right insurance decision, too. That's why State Farm agent Kurt Lenschow is right here in Champaign-Urbana to help you select the right protection at the right price. Kurt will make sure you understand your State Farm coverages so you'll know what to expect if the unexpected happens. Just call him when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, I'm Tyler Weaver, president of Carpet Weaver's Flooring and Furniture Gallery. Take a look around your home. Is it finally ready for some much-needed updates? If you don't know where to start, then just meet with one of our experts. We'll help you find the perfect waterproof plank floor for your kitchen or that stain-resistant, super-soft carpet for your bedroom. Finish your room update with a custom sofa and chairs, or choose a trendy in-stock dining set that's priced right. Come home to Carpet Weavers, where floors, furniture, and family meet.
The best steaks in Central Illinois belong to one institution, and that's the Long Branch Steakhouse in beautiful downtown eclectic Gifford. I'm Jay Lehman. I'm a regular at Long Branch Steakhouse. I take my wife. I take my kids. I love the fried pickles, fried mushrooms, the onion rings, and of course, the steaks. The ribeye is my personal favorite. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9. Tell Donnie Jay Lehman sent you. Don't forget the mac and cheese. Open Wednesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 in downtown Gifford.
PDR Automotive has now been serving the Champaign-Urbana area for over 50 years. To give you some perspective, 50 years ago ended the U.S. involvement in the Vietnam War, and it was when Secretariat won the Triple Crown. So what does that mean for you and your vehicle? Whether you need a carburetor overhauled or your new vehicle computer system diagnosed or programmed, PDR Automotive has the experienced, knowledgeable staff that can handle all your automotive needs. Online at PDRauto.com, they are what's best for your truck or car. They are PDR.
Hey, Illini fans, it's Mike Greenberg. Catch Lon Tay and Derek Piper weekdays from 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
We'll get back to picking Jay Layman's brain here shortly, but first let me tell you about Busey. All you need is love and financial intimacy before you walk down the aisle. Busey suggests setting a solid financial footing. Will you and your spouse-to-be keep finances separate or combined? Consider individual spending and saving habits. Making decisions together will help you find a system that works. Couples that tackle money problems together will find their relationship is better for it. Share credit. Let your spouse-to-be know your credit situation and vice versa. Cupid's arrow is something that is a plan to shoot down existing debt. I stumbled on that one, Jay. Sometimes you have a little false start and just keep on going. Starting with the balances to carry the highest interest rates. Set goals and be diligent in reaching them. Sweet savings. Decide how much you want to save as a couple and withdraw the funds automatically from your paycheck. Busey can help you set a plan that is right for you no matter your circumstance or financial situation. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their convenient locations today. Busey, member FDIC. Back on the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. It's the Jay Lehman Hour, talking Illinois football, coming off a 23-17 survival against FAU. Now you go full steam ahead into the Big Ten schedule. Purdue on the slate in West Lafayette coming up for the Cannon, Jay. Purdue's defense, it's brutal. Their offense can hum like it did in that comeback a little bit there on Friday against Wisconsin. Uh-huh. But what do you think about Ryan Walters and what his team has shown so far as we look ahead to that game on
Saturday? Well, I think Hudson Card's a bona fide quarterback. He can throw the rock. Deion Burks is probably the most speed we're going to see at receiver so far. He's a legitimate deep threat. Yassine is a decent player as well. Sheffield, we played against Sheffield before. They've got some skill guys. They have struggled on the offensive line. Hello, welcome to the club. Crazy legs, Devin Mockabee looks to be replaced, by Tyrone Tracy. He's got more reps than him. So that's what I see offensively. They can score points. And they can score it in a hurry with Graham Harrell's air raid. You know, he's the offensive corner. Defensively, it looks a lot like the defense we saw when Ryan Walters first got here.
Right.
I mean, guys wide open. Struggling to play man coverage, no contain on the quarterback at all. Garrett Schrader ran for 195 and 4 TDs with Syracuse, and then Tanner Mordecai had 50 yards rushing almost and a TD for Wisconsin. So they've really struggled to contain the quarterback. I think Luke Altmaier can have a chance to run the football a little bit. I want to see more sprint outs and bootlegs, more design role to help with our protection. But as far as their defense goes, they don't have a George Karloftis, you know, on that football team that can be a game wrecker. This is a game that Purdue thinks they should win and that Illinois thinks they should win. It's every year. We want Purdue. We should beat Purdue. They think they should beat us. Purdue has not had that much success, though, when against certain pros. I saw they lost 17 in a row to Wisconsin. So, you know, Brett Bielema must have had a pretty good run there against Purdue.
No doubt.
So let's see what happens. I'm looking forward to the game.
That was like a Wisconsin against Illinois basketball for a while. They had won 15 in a row, but 17 in a row over the Boilers. Wow, that's something crazy. It does feel like a situation, Jay, where one of these teams, the team that wins, is going to convince itself that it can salvage its season and go on a little bit of a run and make some noise in the Big Ten West. The team that loses is probably going to say basketball can't get here soon enough.
Oh, that is a really good thing to actually say. I always joke because, you know, when I was playing my first 4 years of Illinois, Lauren Tate would watch the first 3 or 4 weeks of football season. And then I was like, oh, we're 1-3. Okay, time to talk hoops. And when I played in Illinois, we had really good basketball teams. I mean, probably the best ever at Illinois. I mean, that's argument. You can argue that. But a really good team, that 2004-05 team. And so I think you're exactly right. They have a little bit tougher schedule with their crossovers than we do as far as I believe they play one of Ohio State or Michigan. I think Purdue does in their one of their crossovers. And so they've got a little bit tougher schedule, but this is definitely a line in the sand game. They've got 3 losses already. So if they lose this, they're 1-4, and they lost to Illinois, a team they think they should beat, and pretty much puts them out of any kind of bowl game unless they switch something really, really quick. So it's not easy being a first-year head coach, and Ryan Walters is learning that really quick. I think Ryan's going to fix that defense over time, but it's going to take some time.
How much do you think the familiarity factor is going to play a role in this game with Walters going over some of the other coaches? Obviously, he was worked hand-in-hand with Aaron Henry last year and knows the defense. You think that is going to show on Saturday?
So all these coaches have been in the same room with each other. I mean, Aaron Henry was basically discipled by Ryan Walters, and Barry Lunney was in the same room, you know, going every day against Ryan Walters as well. I think everyone knows familiarity schematically, but I think Purdue has the familiarity of like, hey, we were at practice with all of these players that Illinois has. This is where they're weak. This is where they're not weak. We're like an Illinois staff doesn't necessarily have that, right? They haven't been at the practice with Purdue. They don't know. So I think there's a little bit more of a familiar edge with Purdue, but I also think you're having a first-year head coach going against a guy who helped you get your head coaching job, who's got multiple years as a head coach, and probably knows a few things to pull on a first-year head coach or the way that Ryan Walters thinks. So I think those kind of even out, but there are teams that are very familiar. I don't think you're going to trick anybody in this game with what you're doing. It's going to come down to who can block and tackle better, which is a totally unsexy answer, but the answer for a game like this.
Through the first 5 opponents, other than Kansas, Purdue's probably the most dynamic passing attack that you're going to see. And we know that Illinois had big-time issues. As far as, Lance Leipold, the creativity offensively, yes. They got a lot of weapons. Probably not on the same level. I know they're not in terms of what Purdue is working with right now, but how much should Illinois fear what Hudson Card and company can accomplish for the year?
Yeah, I mean, they've gotten a real ability to create explosive plays. I mean, we gave up, I believe it was 20 pass plays of 10 yards or more or something against Kansas. I mean, it was something insane. And this could happen, right? So I want to make also, so we got to be careful. I think their pass game and Maryland's pass game will probably be the most advanced pass game. Well, that doesn't mean that they're the best offense, but just most advanced pass game. So they're going to test our defense. We've got to keep Taz healthy. Got to keep Tyler Strain healthy. We've had a kind of a platoon operation back there. I want to get Big Def in here. Big Def says this about the coaching staff. He said, Jay, Purdue's coaching staff and analysts too had nearly a combined decade of practically up-to-date experience in our plays, wrinkles, tendencies, even down to the wire. Does that worry you more than usual longtime division rivals coming in? That's a great question, Big Def. We always appreciate you. You're a regular on the text line, and so I'm going to go jump back to that question that Derek said. Yeah, I mean, it concerns me a little bit, but I think we also know Ryan Walters' tendencies, like I said, and I guarantee you they're going to have a wrinkle in there that looks just like everything you've seen, and it's just a little bit different. So, but great question. We've had some great texts in here. Bill from Troy said, Illinois football, hoping to be the smartest kid on the short bus. Not sure that was a kind text, but thank you for the text. We got another text here. Would be disappointed with less than 7-5. We have a talent and coaching advantage in most of our remaining games. Get the O-line to figure it out, and let's win the West. Get some positivity there. So, anyway. I love the text messages. Just keep them going.
We've talked about slow starts with Illinois offensively, and you also brought up a good point, the quarterback run. Do you think that that's something that Barry Lunny looks at and says, we got to have maybe a little bit of design in there a little bit more this week, knowing that it's been a kryptonite for Purdue's defense and that Luke can do that? And also, they might need something to maybe spark plug this offense early. Maybe it is Luke with his feet a little bit.
I think the quarterback run has to be part of the game plan. If the guy if the team has struggled with it three out of the four games they played, they didn't struggle with it that much against Va Tech, but they've struggled with the quarterback run. That you've got to attack that. The reason they're struggling with is Ryan Walters wants to play man-to-man. When I play man-to-man, my eyes are on my man and not on the quarterback. And if I don't have a baller D-line that can't contain the quarterback, there's going to be issues. What I liked what Syracuse did, and I think Schrader was the guy that beat out Tommy DeVito because Garrett Schrader could run a little bit better at Syracuse. What I like with it is they had some planned runs where they really, really schemed up that Purdue defense, and it led to some big plays, even some option in there, some nakeds. So it was good to see that, but I think Illinois is going to throw that in there.
You look at as far as the other running game and the rest of the running game with Illinois, you got Reggie Love, 85 yards on 12 carries on Saturday against FAU. Josh McCray looked better, 73 yards, 14 carries. He got going there in the second half. How encouraging was that? And Reggie obviously broke a big one, got caught down the field. But are you more encouraged about their ability to produce and be more consistent in the run game after, especially the second half on Saturday?
Yeah, so great question. I don't think any of these guys is Chase Brown. It's right, the truth. No. I mean, we don't have an elite tailback on this team. We don't have a go-to guy, and that is what it is. I don't think we have a guy that is, you know, a Braylon Allen type, or you know, even a Ches Malusi before he got hurt in the game. I don't think we have that guy. We don't have a Blake Corum. We have a committee of running backs. I think Reggie's the most solid. He doesn't strike fear in anybody, but I think he's solid and can make plays. I think he's very dependable. Josh is a guy that gets better as the game goes on. Somebody mentioned that it was a lack of proper play calling. Maybe it was Big Def talking about that. I can't remember if it was Big Def or somebody. Somebody texted in and said, hey, I think McCray didn't have the right plays. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I do think that he had an opportunity a couple times. Like, I saw him run east and west and actually get the corner this time in the game. So I think he's playing well. I think him and Caden Fagan are still going to battle for spots. I think as Caden Fagan continues to progress, I think he's got a little bit more acceleration. He's got a skill set that maybe McCray doesn't have as far as getting out of the hole, but McCray actually caught the ball well too. And then Aiden Loffrey, who had a little juice to him as well, got a great run down to the goal line and finished with the touchdown. I think all of those are kind of playing into it. I don't know if we would have seen Jordan Anderson or not by this time. He got banged up, obviously blew out his knee and earlier this season. So I'm not overly impressed with the backs. I'm not overly impressed with the offensive line. I think we're all pretty average right now and underperforming in the run game, and I think they realize that.
Andy on the U of I Line League text line, do you think Lunny will actually put those runs in for Luke, or will it be same old, even though he is moving down the field?
Yeah, I think we will see a couple runs for Luke that are planned, whether that be zone read, whether that be quarterback draw. Luke's going to run a little bit as it is. I'd like to see boots. I'd like to see – whenever you're having trouble protecting a quarterback, you've got to move the pocket. So you got to do boots. You got to do sprint outs. You got to max protect. I think we're going to see – if we could ever get the run game going, we could actually do a little play action and take some deep shots and max protect. So what I mean by max protect, we're going to keep two tight ends in and one running back, and we're going to block with eight, your five, six rushers, and we're going to see if, you know, one or two guys can get open. I want to see that, but I do think we'll have some more planned runs. If he doesn't have them in there, I'd be really surprised.
One more on Purdue before I kind of zoom out a little bit more. You mentioned defensively very similar in the 2021 Illinois defense.
Like
getting torched in the first handful of weeks, but there was a turnaround there. But then in hindsight, you're like, okay, they had some dudes. Like Witherspoon was part of that team. You had a number of guys that Sid Brown, obviously. Does Purdue just not have the dudes? Will they have a flip of a switch? Can that happen for them? I know it's a tough question to answer.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ryan Walters is a good football coach. I mean, I think it was the Purdue game 2 years ago that we saw the defense play against the Jeff Brohm team at Purdue. We're like, the defense actually played kind of solid that day. That's kind of what Josh McCray had a big day. But the defense
was that the Brandon Peters, like, throw three out of the back of the end zone?
Correct.
Before had a chance to win it, yeah.
Yes, correct. We had some issues with that. Mm-hmm. So I think Ryan Walters is not only a great defensive coordinator, I think he's a good defensive backs coach. Like, I think he's going to develop guys. Is he going to have a top five draft pick? No, he's probably not going to have that. That's kind of a rarity. But I think they're going to get better. I don't see them getting better good enough this year to go to a bowl game. Mm-hmm. I think they're a four-win team. I don't see them beating a ton of teams just the way they're playing defense right now. They couldn't improve, though.
One more question before we catch a break. As you zoom out, you look at this stretch that's ahead. You look at the fact that you have Purdue on the road, Nebraska at home on a Friday night, and after that, is it Maryland or is it Wisconsin right after that?
I think it's Maryland, then Wisconsin.
Maryland, then okay. Wisconsin. Maryland, obviously, on the road is pretty tough, but a win. What would a win do? What could possibly happen for Illinois with Purdue, a very winnable game, and then obviously Nebraska? You would hope that that's one that you could take care of.
This is a huge two-week span. I mean, when I'm sitting here from 2 weeks from, we're going to know a lot about this team. Because if you don't beat Purdue and you don't beat Nebraska, you're 2-4, and it's like, ugh, who are we going to beat?
Yeah.
Right? But if we actually, we talked about this going into these three games, right? Like, we talked about this on Friday with FAU. We got one of them down. Nebraska's not good. Heinrich Harburger's their quarterback, and all they do is run, like, old school option. They don't throw the ball. They got some big old tight ends. They eat a lot of corn, and that's about it. I mean what I watched them, they're not that good. Purdue has not been that good. These are teams that in year three of Brett Bielema being established as a program, we need to beat these first-year teams like Purdue and Nebraska, first-year head coaches. They're in a lot of transition. They're building their program up. They're not ready-made. We've got more depth. We've got more questions answered. We should beat these teams. I don't even know what the line is at Illinois-Purdue.
I think it's Purdue by 1 or 1.5.
I mean, it should be pretty darn even, right? Pretty toss-up, but Brett knows that they should beat these teams. You look at the film, they should beat Purdue. You look at the film, they should beat Nebraska. If we don't beat them, it's because we played badly. We played poorly. We're better than these football teams.
Before we catch this break, tell us again about the great sponsors, Jay.
Yeah, Iroquois Federal, our title sponsor for all of your lending needs. You got a home loan, you got a business loan, you got a commercial line of credit. You need to talk to Bob Guido at Iroquois Federal, Mark McHale, Ryan Lowry, Brenda Crane. Those people will help you get the loan that you need. If you need a line of credit for your business, call Iroquois Federal. They're located at South Neal in Savoy and also at the crossing right off of Windsor and Duncan in Champaign. Iroquois Federal, Kyle Lewis. You got to email kyle@ipgins.com. That's kyle@ipgins.com. Say you want the Jay Layman rate. You've heard about the Rogers rate for these other companies that may or may not be popular, like the Rogers rate or the Mahomes rate. You know, you want the Kyle.
Here's the Tua rate.
You want the Jay Layman rate for kyle@ipgins.com. So hit up Kyle for all your insurance needs, auto, home, life, habitational, and of course, Long Branch Steakhouse. Donnie, what should I say about Long Branch Steakhouse? Donnie's here with me right now. Donnie, what's going on this week?
Doing the Steak Oscars again.
Steak Oscars. What's the Steak Oscar?
Filet, crab meat.
Oh. Filet, crab meat, and you said Berendez? Berendez sauce. Guys,
I saw a picture, and my mouth almost hit the floor.
It looks amazing. If you haven't had it, you're missing out. They're going upscale over there at Long Branch. They're really coming up. God. I mean, Berendez sauce, watch
the
out.
The scale's going to go up if you go over there, I'm not mad about it.
Guys, still the best bargain for your buck, though. I'm not going to mention any other steakhouses around there, but you get full there. My kids love it. You got to check it out.
Going to catch one more break. We've got another segment with Jay. Hit us up, 217-359-2255. Any last questions for our guy? We're very obviously blessed to have him in here, so take advantage of it. We'll be back. This is The Drive.
These days, it seems like bank names are changing faster than a forecast in February. But at Iroquois Federal, we're still the same community bank we've always been. For more than 135 years, we've built relationships by helping build the things that matter, whether it's a business, a back porch, or the building blocks of a better life. If you're looking for a bank that's here for the long haul, swing by today and see for yourself why different rules. Iroquois Federal, still friendly, still local, still here.
The Blossom Basket Florist has been in business since 1954. In the last 25 years, the Blossom Basket Florist has processed over 535,000 orders. That's 21,400 orders per year. With that type of volume, they know they have satisfied customers who just keep coming back. Find out why their customers love their designs and customer service. From simple to simply magnificent, they can design for any type of event. Visit them at 1002 North Cunningham and Urbana or online at blossombasket.com.
A tradition of excellence over 150 years in the making. At Busey Bank, we're committed to building relationships that span generations. Wherever your journey in life leads you, we are with you along the way, creating a legacy for you and your family. Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868, proud to be the official bank of the Fighting Illini. Member FDIC.
Everybody needs insurance, and that's why I love Kyle Lewis at Insurance Providers Group. This is Jay Layman, All-American linebacker. Kyle provides auto, life, health, and all kinds of commercial lines of insurance. They are my one-stop shop for all my insurance needs, and all my rental properties are insured by IPG. That's why you need to email Kyle at IPGINS.com. Kyle at IPGINS.com.
You've changed thousands of diapers, played hours of peekaboo and duck duck goose because you'd do anything for your kids. That's why it's so important to protect them with life insurance from State Farm. State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw will help make it easy and affordable to help you protect your family no matter what the future holds. Because for the people you do anything for, life insurance could mean everything. Call State Farm agent Kurt Lenshaw in Champaign-Urbana today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Start your day with me along with Diane Ducey, weekday mornings 7 to 9, here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
We asked in the text line delivered on the U of I Line and Link text line. Hit us up, 217-359-2255. Let's start with this because I'm curious myself. 217 Jay says, my wife wants to know what happened to the Golden Boy locks that used to flow from out underneath the back of your helmet.
Well, I'm glad your wife's asking. No, I'm just I'm kidding with you. I'm just giving you a hard time. But hey, you know, when I got married, my wife's like, listen, it just didn't look great after a while. After I got done playing football, it wasn't coming out of the back of my helmet, which was the cool thing. I was one of the first to grow my hair out long. AJ Hawk actually copied me back in the day. If you remember the 2000 linebackers, yes. He wouldn't say that. But I would say yes. I as I got domesticated, it's gotten shorter and shorter, and now I'm back to a high fade. We also got 319 with another question here. Lenny's play calling, Jay, to this point. What have you thought about it? Why hasn't it looked more like the quick hitting RPO scheme that shred us with UTSA? Seems a good option to start on the line. That's actually a really good point. I have not seen the RPO used nearly as much. I don't know if we just don't have the quarterback or the receivers, but it does seem like a good option. I thought the play calling, he did a better job of the play calling last game. Got the ball to Isaiah Williams, had some creativity with some deep downfield throws. But I will say that I think it maybe lacked a little bit the first two or three games on their creativity because we were so far behind. Like, we've been behind and we have been playing catch up, and that's not what you want to do. Okay.
If I close my eyes, I can still see Zachary Franklin on that RPO slant.
You talk about a bad defense.
Yeah.
They were getting banged on that.
Could Isaiah be that guy?
I don't think he's big enough to do that all the time. Usually they run the RPO to Casey because he's big enough, because you have to have a body that can shield the defensive back from coming through behind you. Malik Elzey will be the guy for it. He had the two drops.
Yes.
I know he was discouraged about that. Fans were discouraged about it. He'll be better, but he really has the body that you want for an RPO, because you've got to be able to fight through that and have this size.
Big Def, if you look at Luke's ability on film with his legs, I bet zone read and RBO out of the 20 personnel we showed for a couple of plays would feel to opponents like defending a triple off.
Well, yeah, Big Def knows his football. 20 personnel is two backs, no tight ends, and three receivers. And, you know, red zone and RPO, zone read and RPO, I think he's done pretty good at the zone read when he's pulled it when he's need to. The RPO, we haven't seen a ton of it. What I think I want to see, though, is in critical situations and in the red zone and third down, you've seen Luke Altmyer make some plays. I think we'll continue to see that because that's when you really have to be alert. When stuff breaks down, there is no option to throw it away because it's third down or you're in the red zone, he's going to run the football. We could see more of that being developed.
I just had a flashback to your 2007 team. This is kind of a little bit off the wall, but speaking of the zone read, how tough, I'm imagining like through camp you probably did ones versus ones at times. How tough was it, if so, to defend that Juice reads to Rashard, and if he pulls it, him and Aurelius Ben are coming out on a speed option.
Right. Now, that was, first of all, you had some thoroughbreds right there running it for you.
Yeah.
And the only thing what people realize is the zone read was done minimally a little bit in the 90s in Florida State. Really, it was Rich Rod. You got to give him credit what he did at West Virginia. Very innovative. The reason people thought Rich Rod was a phenomenal coach is nobody else had done it. He had kind of developed the zone read, and then people kind of caught up. So every coaching job he's been to later, he hasn't necessarily won like he did at West Virginia.
Right.
But what they did with Steve Slayton and Pat White, if you'll remember, is it looks exactly the same every play, and you've got to be super disciplined, like option football. And what I know, I give credit with Mike Loxley said, hey, you know, if you don't, it would freeze you when you're playing against that team against Illinois. We would scrimmage against them. If you don't come downhill and hit Rashard Mendenhall in the hole, he's got a full head of steam. He's going to get 3 or 4 yards and run through you. The same with Juice. But the problem was you could never commit to it because you didn't know who was going to give the ball to. And then at times they would pitch it to Aurelius, who was actually a really good runner as well. So we had like four plays, you know, option, zone read pitch, throw to Aurelius Ben, throw to a tight end every once in a while, Jeff Cumberland, and that was about it.
It worked.
Right? You know, Daniel Dufresne, God rest his soul, was actually a really good backup tailback, had a big day against Ohio State. People don't think about that either. He, you know, sometimes right. We put Dufresne in there with Rashard Mendenhall and then put in the slot Aurelius Ben. And then you could run the option with the option pass, you know, which was really difficult. So you would fake it to either Dufresne or Rashard. Juice could keep it, pitch it, or RPO it on the option pass and just step back and wing it to Aurelius.
I wish I thought of this earlier, Jay, because so that play was in the NCAA football game. You could do the motion Aurelius out of the slot, come into the backfield,
really?
Run that triple option, which was very fun to use. On that note, there's been a lot of conversation about starting up another NCAA football game.
Yes.
And whether people would want to play for, what is it, $200, Kyle? Or I don't know what the amount is.
But it was $500.
How easy of a conversation would that be?
You get $500 for what?
To be in
to
the
be
game.
In it.
Okay.
Like your likeness.
Okay.
Would you take the $500?
I would.
Or would you negotiate?
Well, let's just say this. In the 2003-2004 game, I was like the lowest rating I've ever seen of any player I've ever seen. I think I was a 42 or something like that. I mean, I think my awareness was like 60 and my speeds were in the 30 or something like that. The awareness is just kind of a try hard, you know, smart guy, right?
Or
whatever they call it, whatever the awareness experience factor is. I think you take what you can get in college. I mean, if you're not very good, sure, I'll take $500. As a senior, when I was actually pretty good, I would probably negotiate that. But $500 back then was a lot of money. A lot of money. I would have scooped that up in a heartbeat. A lot of these guys aren't making money either.
Right, right. I know it's easy for us on the outside to sit there and say, why wouldn't any player out there want to be in the game? As someone that's actually been a player and as a senior, I mean, you were a senior All-American linebacker. Like Caleb Williams, is his value more so to that game than maybe than the backup quarterback somewhere else? Absolutely. Just
100%.
Do you think that most players, like when you were on the team, we're just happy to be in the game. Like,
oh, 100%. I mean, if I just saw my number on there, and even though my ratings were garbage, I was still happy that I was
an
in there.
Edit button. You can up the speed. All of a sudden, Jay Lane's like a 92.
I mean, could you even edit guys back in the day?
Maybe not.
What was the basketball game that Jordan was never in? NBA Jam?
Yeah.
There's a couple games that he was not in.
It was just like player 23 or something.
I just remember being so bummed. Like, you're just like, oh, man. So obviously, he held out for some reason, and rightfully so,
yep.
Right? So
Barry Bonds was named like John Dowd in triple play baseball or something.
Triple play. There was Ken Griffey Jr.'s Major League Baseball too. That was good, but I think they had names on there. I was Juan Gonzalez for Texans. He was like huge in the game. He was like just yoked out of his mind. Him and Jose Canseco.
That's right.
That was before all the roid stuff came. Now we know why. That's
Well, I took over the last stretch asking Jay just some questions that came to my mind. But hey, that's why we love Mondays. We got Jay's brain to pick. We're running short on time, so Jay, just hit us with the sponsors one more time, and then we'll let you go.
Yeah, yeah. Iroquois Federal is our title sponsor. Got to hit up Bob. Got to hit Mark McHale, Ryan, and also Brenda Crane, Kyle Lewis, Kyle at IPGINS.com. Say you want the layman rate. Jay's right. You want Kyle Lewis to give you Auto Home Life, Habitational, Long Branch Steakhouse. Donnie took off, but man, check out Long Branch Steakhouse Wednesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m. Before I take off, though, I do want to talk about this Ohio State game. We didn't get a talk.
Chance, I should have asked you
chance
about
to talk about. It's okay, man. That's why we're co-hosts, right? Hello, right, Kyle? So I'm watching the Ohio State game with, you know, at Big Ten Network, and we're all watching it. And first of all, there's a couple different interesting things. But do you guys realize that on the last two plays of the game, Notre Dame had 10 guys? How does it feel to be that guy? You know, you work on Friday afternoon. Okay, goal line, get in there. Everybody in, 11 guys, yeah. Hey, short yardage, get in there. Okay, 11 guys. Nickel, get in there. Okay, we got 11 guys. In the game for that could probably cost you a national championship if you wanted a national championship, you were the one guy who's sitting on the sidelines watching goal line play, and you're supposed to be out there. I'm like, dude.
Whose fault is that? It's easy to sit there and say, how could the defensive coordinator allow that to happen? Is it as simple as that, or is it somebody in a goal line package that should know they should be out
there? So there's a lot of things going on. The coordinator is there's coaches that will say, goal line up or punt team up, and they're in charge of counting. Usually that's not the coordinator. Usually they're calling the defense or talking on the headset. Usually it's someone else. What I think may have happened, which can happen, is a guy gets hurt. Okay?
Right.
He's hurt. You tell the guy on base defense, hey, such and such is hurt. You're up. Okay. Well, but now on goal line, the guy on base defense has to take the guy that was hurt's position on goal line. And then the game of telephone never got to that defensive tackle, defensive end. And even I said, when I saw the play before it even ran, before anybody said, I said, well, you need to run it to the left. They're totally overloaded to the defensive left. You need to run to the offensive left, the opposite side. And the reason I said that was not because I saw there was 10 guys. It's like just formationally, it wasn't right. So it probably was an honest mistake like that. Somebody gets dinged up. They don't go in. But, man, what a drive by Kyle McCord and that team to get down there. Ohio State, every time you play Ohio State, it's like they're just hard to kill. It's just like you give them both 2 minutes, they're going to find a way to get down to the end zone. So I think that was a big win for the Big Ten. Michigan has not looked impressive. I think their soft schedule has really hurt them early on as far as development as a team. They've gotten going as the years have gone past the last 2 years, but they have not looked overly impressive. I think Rutgers looks better than what people think. I think Taulia Tagovailoa, one of the best throwing quarterbacks, usually what Tua has done, one of the best throwing quarterbacks in Maryland. I think Maryland could get to 8 wins this year. I don't see them winning the West. I still think Penn State is my pick to win the conference. I've been saying that. Nothing has changed about that. And I think Indiana is Indiana. So I think we've touched on almost every team there. Wanted to give you that one for free.
Jay, even working overtime. We appreciate it as always. Big one coming up on Saturday in West Lafayette, and we look forward to next Monday breaking it all down with Jay. Jay, thanks as always, man.
Take care, guys.
All right, when we come back, we will have Luke Altmyer, your Illini quarterback, through for 300-plus on Saturday. Get his thoughts about a bounce-back showing against FAU. Saw the phone ringing just a moment ago. Hopefully he calls back, and we'll get him on the line. Stick with us. This is The Drive.